It's always a privilege to be able to share God's word, whether it be, as often folks have referred to someone who's a counselor, the pulpit of the desk or the pulpit of the podium. And I praise the Lord for what he's done in our lives, giving us his word. I thought back to before being even interested specifically in getting married, knowing who that might be. I remember standing in a grocery store line behind a young mom with two or three children. Their cart is being filled with candy from the little aisle there where they're not supposed to be touching. And I'm thinking, the mom's a little frazzled, and I'm thinking, boy, if I was the parent, I would know exactly how to take care of that. Well, you fast forward that to suddenly when you become a parent and you realize those answers you had as a parent weren't always there. In fact, the story goes, I was about 26 years ago preparing to preach my first Father's Day message. And I was doing some research, and a gentleman had been working on sermon titles, and he'd always go back to his sermon titles. And early in his ministry, he wrote this sermon title, 10 Definite Ways to Rear Children to Serve God. Now he was preparing after 25 years in ministry, and he wrote 10 Feeble Attempts at Rearing Children to Serve God. Now, that is no indictment on children. That is an indictment on the nature of us as parents, run godly. And you know that as well as I do. And what's such a blessing when you think about Scripture is there are really actually very few verses that say specifically how to be a dad. The majority of Scripture is telling you how to love and serve God. I love the, not just for kids, the illustration there of following God, asking him to help you, and then fulfill that in his word. And this evening, we're going to be looking at three specific attributes. I know the title said my father's attributes, and you probably thought, well, this is going to be a three-day series. My father's attributes broken into three specific areas to consider what God would have as we think through some areas that God would have us to follow through. And I believe the first one that God can really encourage us in is found in Psalm 103, and verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Well, what is that compassion? Specifically is to have mercy, to feel sympathy, and to have pity. God does that better than anyone else. And so no offense to the rest of you dads in here, and I don't feel offended if you don't want to follow my way of being compassionate either. God doesn't say follow so-and-so, except he says follow me, follow God. And so specifically there, if you think about to feel this sympathy and to have this compassion, we think about some illustrations of what Jesus did in his own means of compassion. I thought specifically of the illustration in the time when Jesus was weeping over his friend Lazarus dying. And I know that often is the go-to verse for about a fourth grader when they're supposed to memorize a verse before they go out to play. Find John 11:35, and then they're out. But specifically, there is a lot said in that two-word verse, isn't there? The 100% man was weeping for his friend. He was sad that Lazarus had died. Of course, he knew the rest of the story, because the 100% God was able to take care of that dilemma. But nonetheless, there was compassion. Another time you hear and see compassion is when Jesus is looking down over the city of Jerusalem and his heart is breaking because he's been there, he's taught them, he's shown them, and they're not doing a thing about it except basically turning their back on it. And he has compassion on them. He's not angry at them. He's compassionate. And then, of course, as the crowds would come to Jesus, those with different ailments, those that needed to be able to see, to be able to walk, he had compassion on them. His goal was to help them to be able to be more in tune with what God wanted them to be. That was his whole reason for compassion. Compassion has been noted to be your pain in my shoes. And as the sermon was preached last week, Tim Chevalier made the statement, they don't need your prayers, they need your pants. Well, I know that that might have caught some people off guard, and there might have been some chuckles, and I'm sure there might be some jokes. But thinking through what we do for someone else is literally the reason for our praying. is to go and do something about that. That compassion is going to move us to do something. A father's compassion is evidenced in how he is impacted with the needs of his children. I know that as a dad, if I wasn't careful, you let a need get in the way of your own selfish desires. Someone has a broken bone, or someone has a cough or a cold, or someone has a difficult time right at that moment. And if I was not careful, if we are not careful, we don't think of compassion like God would think of compassion to help them to become more godly. It's like, I have this agenda. I have to get this done. So I'd like to challenge and encourage all of us, and primarily to dads, to make sure that our compassion will be evidence in how we're impacted with the needs of our children, and we meet them in a manner that shows that our children see God's characteristics in us, not our emotion. Secondly, we see that of discipline. God is one of discipline. And he shares in the verse, second half of verse 5 in Hebrews 12, and then verse 6, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." The definition would be given tonight is correction and direction for God's glory and the good of his children. I thought specifically of the illustration of Jonah. Discipline, initially is not to be confused with cold-hearted punishment. The Lord's discipline is a response of his love for us and his desire for each of us to be holy. That's the reason he disciplines us. He loves us, wants us to be holy. Well, what does that mean? We obey and God blesses. He wants to be able to bless, but he wants us to obey and be holy. The Lord's discipline works for our own good, that he might be glorified with our lives. He wants us to exhibit lives of holiness, lives that reflect the new nature that God has given us. So if we step out of line, he stops us. Jonah was an example of that. He's given the privilege, the opportunity of going and evangelizing the ungodly nation, the city, the people there of Nineveh. He decides to go the wrong way, and we all know that story. And until the storm came and the men threw him over and the great fish swallowed him up, Jonah was going to go his own way. And God's like, no, I want you to do what I want you to do for my glory. That's why he would discipline. Unfortunately, Jonah didn't fulfill it completely. He did go and evangelize, and then he sulked because they got saved, because they changed their ways. But the whole purpose there is to think about our father as a dad. Our discipline should be in response to our love and the importance of a child obeying for God's glory, not the ease or lack of embarrassment of our own situation. Too often, if we're not careful, our life is frustrated because it didn't go the way we wanted. They didn't obey as quickly because we just had these things to do. Instead of realizing the purpose of discipline is that they become more godly. They become more Christ-like. And the purpose there is helping them along that way. 3 John 4 states, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in righteousness." That is why we would discipline. Pattern ourselves after God, and we would discipline them so that they would decide and desire to be more like him. And then the third is that of guidance. In Psalm 48:14, "This God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever." In Psalm 25:5, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." And then James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." I use that verse. It directed me many, 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 many times as a dad. Lack wisdom, what book to read? Oh yeah, ask God. It's so simple. It's so available. And it's amazing the truth that he works into our lives. As he guides us, we want to make sure that we use that idea of guidance to our children. The idea of guidance is that of instruction for direction. Not instruction so you become exactly like me. I love the illustration that was even used there where the hunting followed what grandpa enjoyed and dad enjoyed and son enjoyed. So too can loving others, exactly as was stated there. Be certain that the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do is take on the role of guide and counselor, leading us in the way we should go and revealing God's truth to us. We must know God's word as a result, and knowledge of God's word helps us discern whether or not our desires come from the Holy Spirit. That's the verse there in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. If they're God-honoring desires and he wants you to have them, he gives them to you. If they're not, he changes your desires. And what a blessing that we can follow that guidance. And then finally, as we think of being fathers ourselves and dads, a father's guidance will take on the form of helping a child do what God would be most pleased with. I know that unfortunately there were times in my children's upbringing that dad didn't always do things the right way. And I would share with them periodically in our powwow that my motive was right, but my method wasn't. And perhaps because of that, I'd lose my temper or get impatient, wasn't biblical in my approach. But if we as dads will seek to do all that we can in our lives to certainly emulate the specific area there of compassion, specific area there of discipline and of guidance, doing it God's way, I believe it will give us a wonderful opportunity to see him work in spite of us and see our children grow and become mature young folks serving God with their whole lives.